Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. All right. Let's get ready for the word. Tonight I got quite a bit of word for you. You guys ready for some word? Even if we've read it a thousand times, God's word is new. There's rhema, there's something fresh in it. Every time we hear it, it never ceases to bring strength to us. So tonight I'm going to be talking about fruitfulness. Pastor Simone mentioned this last week in her message. She said Pastor Verna had said one time, pruning is the reward of fruitfulness. Pruning is the reward. So it doesn't feel like a reward. How many of you would say that pruning feels like a reward? Well, I didn't say it, so don't get mad at me. It was Bill Johnson that actually initially said it, and I don't know if he borrowed it, but when I heard it, I thought, that's good. It's a good thing to tuck away in my heart and treasure as a positive. And Bill Johnson sometimes will just say a nugget, and you have to think about it for a minute. But so many of us, we recoil, because it hurts to be pruned. Sometimes people sink in depression. Sometimes they never recover. And it's because they have an attitudinal problem when it occurs, instead of understanding that this is a reward, and that if we continue to remain faithful and connected to God. And I love Pastor Simone's message last week, because one of her points in there is just, what do you do when you don't know what to do? And you don't know what God is doing? Because we've all been there. This hurts, and God, I don't know what you're doing, and I don't understand. And, you know, it was her message, but she borrowed my notes, my points from an old wisdom love letter, and I was like, did I write that? I don't know what I was going through at the time, but it was just, it's a timeless principle that I learned in how to weather seasons of pain. And to go through things when I don't understand what is happening, and understand that on the other side of that is something so incredible and so good, that if we'll get the right perspective of this type of pain, that it will help us to endure it. And what she said was, just stay united to God and ride it out. Just wait. Wait. And what I've learned to do is, in the waiting, rather than blaming, rather than sinking in despair, rather than wrestling with the things I don't understand. Because sometimes you can't figure it out. God's ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. And we've just got to really stick with his word and believe that in the times when he's pruning things off of our life, or he's taking us through a painful season, it's not like he inflicts the pain on us to hurt us. He does it to help us. So the first thing that I wanted you to say tonight as an opening declaration is this. Pruning, say it. Equals more fruitfulness. Say it again. Pruning equals more fruitfulness. How many of you want to be fruitful for the kingdom? See, now I know that you can't even be in the kingdom, because God puts that inside of you. He builds that within your new spirit man to be fruitful, to increase, to expand, to thrive, to flourish. And so I can ask that question, and I never see anybody who has been born again by the Spirit that ever says, no, I don't want to be fruitful. Why? Because the Spirit of God is the one that causes the fruit to be born in our life. God puts his Holy Spirit in us, what is called the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So you can't have the Holy Spirit and him not be wanting to produce fruit in your life. Amen? So it's built in within us. And so in the same way that God has a plan to prosper you with an abundant life, including every area of your life. Now, this is just not financially. He wants to prosper you relationally. He wants to prosper you, you know, spiritually. He wants to prosper you financially and physically. All these different areas of your life. Prosperity in the kingdom is not one-dimensional. It's every area of your life. So in the same way that God has this plan to do this in your life, he also has a plan to prune you so you will flourish. It may hurt, but know this, pruning is to help you, not harm you. Yeah. And so in the early days when I was learning and I was immature and someone was pruned from my life or something, it seems like I could deal with the when God began to do the work inside and he was pruning an attitude, because there's all kinds of different pruning. When he was pruning an attitude or there was some kind of internal adjustment that needed to make, I knew that that needed to go. And so I could reconcile that within myself. I wouldn't wrestle with it. I was like, oh, that needs to go. God's dealing with that. And even though it's painful and I'm having to come to terms with that and be honest about it and repent and really, you know, surrender that to the Lord, it was like I was in cooperation with God in that. I understood what he was doing. It's when he began to prune things and people from my life. Now I see all of y'all nodding. That I wrestled with more of the whys and the pain of it. And so I began to study this through a painful season when there was some pruning going on in my life, and I knew it was God. I knew he was removing people. I knew he was removing things. And there was, have you ever been blindsided by something and you didn't feel like there was any good reason for that to end? And all of a sudden, it just got snarfed out of your life. Okay? And I wrestled, and I was hurting, and, you know, my prayer life waned, and I struggled. And I remember I started to ask God, what are you doing? I don't understand. And he just said, I want you closer to me. I want you closer to me. And I started to realize I couldn't have that vital union with God and stay as closely connected with these people and these things. And God isn't mean, but he wants us to be vitally united to him. He wants us closer to him. If there's anything in our life that is detrimental to our destiny, detrimental to the fruit that he wants us to bear, the glory that he wants to be seen in our lives, which is his, he is sovereign and he is God, and he will begin to change some things in our life. So he took me into John 15. It's a familiar passage to those of you who are saved as Billy Graham. And we say that around here a lot. You're saved as saved. That means you read your Bible and you really, really serve God. But this is good for everyone. I mean, this is good every day. This is good for all of us to get into, because everything we do and succeed in is going to happen because of our union with God. Amen. So I like subtitles. It says, Jesus is the vine, and followers are branches. Branches. You think about a branch, and I preach from subtitles sometimes, but you think about a branch. A branch is not straining to be a part of the tree or to be a part of the vine. It's not like straining to produce the fruit. It's not working. Not that we shouldn't actively, you know, be active in our faith. But what I'm saying, it's not performing. The branch is not performing. It is abiding. It's just connected. And Jesus starts in and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So that's important. Jesus is the one we're to stay connected to. And within that union that we have with Jesus, Father is going to look and see what is detrimental to our relationship with the Lord. And he's good. He's a good, good Father. So his job is to watch over that relationship that we have with his son, Jesus Christ, and make sure that we're successful. Every branch, remember, the branches are the followers, that's us. So every branch in me, and Jesus is saying this, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, lifts up. Now, this is the Amplified, and I'm going to come back to the Passion Translation in a moment. I put lifts up in there because this was preached wrong to me in legalism. So in other words, it was if you don't bear fruit, you're done. You're cut off. You're thrown into the fire. This part of the passage, there is a place for that, okay? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So he's not pulling you out of the kingdom and ripping you away from Jesus and severing your relationship with the Lord. Watch this. And every branch that continues to bear fruit, he repeatedly prunes. So watch. The one that is not bearing fruit, he lifts up. So in your seasons, when you're not fruitful, what does the enemy come and say? Man, you sure were a jerk. You sure didn't bear any fruit today. Man, you're in a season right now where there's really not a lot of the Spirit of God being, you know, made manifest in your life. And your relationship with the Lord and even your eternal security is in jeopardy. How many of you heard that? You keep going like this, you're going to end up in hell. Do you know that's not the voice of God? That's not the voice of the Father. You know what the Father does? He says, hey, let me lift you up. Let me lift you up. Let me lift you up and away from anything right now that's hindering fruitfulness in your life. We'll look at it in a minute in another version. And he says, every branch that continues to bear fruit, he repeatedly prunes. So we all desire to bear fruit. I ask that question. When you begin to bear fruit, and I'll list them here in a moment from the Passion. They're not in the outline, in whoever's following me. You should normalize discomfort. You should not be shocked and dismayed. You're bearing fruit. You're going to be repeatedly pruned. That's just what it says right there. This is Jesus talking. Repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. And this is a reward. Wow. I've been teaching the staff that mentally strong, I could say the spiritually strong people, they don't shy away from change. They don't. They learn to live with a level of discomfort and they begin to normalize it, knowing that on the other side of this is something called growth and expansion. More excellence, more excellent fruit. More can only come after the discomfort. So I don't want to get ahead of myself. He says here, he repeatedly prunes this branch that continues to bear fruit so that it will bear more fruit, even richer and finer fruit. So we can't get to the richer and finer fruit without going through this season of discomfort. And many people go, oh God, thank God I was pruned. Well, that's over. Thank God that season's over. That was a season of pruning. And now I'm coming into a season where there's a harvest and all this great stuff is going to go on. And you know what? It's wonderful, but get ready. Because he's going to repeat it. He's going to keep repeating it. Why? Because you are thriving. You are flourishing. You are a producer. And if you can normalize discomfort and the fact that God is looking for more and better, finer, richer fruit from you, and you have the potential to do that if you will abide in him, if you will normalize this repeated pruning, you will not leave church. You will not throw in the towel. You will not say, Christianity is too much for me to bear. This is just too much for me to take. You know that God will never put more on you than you can bear, but his purpose in your life is to have you bear such supernatural fruit that it leaves everyone without argument that God exists. I've been around people that were so persecuted, and here's another thing. Much of the fruit in my life grew in times of great adversity. That's when it's tested. That's when my testimony and my witness was the brightest. There were people that saw that and said, that has to be supernatural. No one can be treated like that and respond like that without God, without the Holy Spirit. Amen? And you can't do that in your flesh. And so what is this fruit? I don't want to just talk about that and not mention it. But in the Passion Translation, I actually love the way that it lists the fruit in Galatians 5. And this is not in the outline either, guys. I'm just kind of throwing things in tonight. But it says, but the fruit, and that word fruit in the Greek, it's translated harvest. So the harvest produced by the Holy Spirit. So it's produced by who? The Holy Spirit within you. Is divine love in all its varied expressions. So what is the fruit? It's joy that overflows. Peace that subdues. Subdues. That's a military term. When is the fruit of peace going to show up in your lives? Not when you're sitting around meditating. No, it's in the middle of a war when everything the devil has is been thrown at you with a vengeance. And all of a sudden you just subdue everything he throws at you with the peace of God. You just subdue it. Patience that endures. I can't take it. I can't take it. I just can't take it anymore. I got to do something about it. Oh, I just got to, you know, that impetuousness begins to be diminished in your life. And people will actually think that you don't care. You're apathetic, that you become complacent. No, there's a place of rest in God where you just know, I don't have to go at this right now. I can be patient and wait on the Lord because if I get my hands in it, it's going to be a mess. And they're like, you know, the enemy wants you to rise up. I like that word endures. That indicates that you're in a situation that is either miserable, unbearable, or adversarial, antagonistic. It means to endure something, to go through something. God is looking for these things to start to show up in our life. You know how many people have left? Covenant relationships. They left a business too soon. I love in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. He talks about the guy that quit 3 feet from gold. And gave up his land and everything. And the guy that purchased the land, he got rid of his equipment, sold it to that guy. He was sure there was no gold on the land. He didn't have the kind of patience that endures. And 3 feet from where he stopped digging was one of the greatest gold mines that's ever been discovered. Because he didn't have the patience to endure. Kindness in action. A life full of virtue. A life full of virtue. Man, what would the body of Christ look like right now if just leadership had a life full of virtue? As we look at the carnage across the body of Christ worldwide that he loves, we see a lack of this particular fruit. Somebody wasn't abiding in God. Somebody wasn't really abiding in him. You don't take down mega churches and satellite churches and people, your wife and your children, and be slandered and mud slung all over the body of Christ worldwide. If the fruit called a life of virtue was being manifested in your life, man, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart and strength of spirit. Paul says, never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. So in other words, we're not to just tap into this and have it once in a while. We're to have it every single day in an unlimited supply. Somebody say, oh, God, help me. She's preaching tonight. right? That'll get you convicted. Let's go back and read it in the Passion Translation quickly. And I want you to see the real meaning of it. Jesus said, I am the true sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches. And pruning, the Greek word for pruning here is katharo, can also mean cleansing. Cleansing. Every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. So you must remain in life union with me, grafted into me. For I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. What is the secret here? Intimacy. Intimacy. You notice that he doesn't come right out of the gate saying, I'm going to cut you off. No, what does he say? He says the Father is going to lift and prop up the fruitless branches. So the Greek phrase there, and I'm looking at footnotes tonight, because this is a teaching night. The Greek phrase can also be translated, he takes up to himself every fruitless branch. Think about that. The church has wanted to just kick to the curb every person that isn't bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We demonize these people. They repented at an altar. They received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Some of them have never properly been discipled. Their mouths sound more like trash cans than garbage disposals. Yeah. Anyways, while Pharisaical and judgmental Christians are kicking these people to the curb, you know what the Father is doing? He's lifting them up into his heart. He's taking them into himself. It says, as the wise and loving farmer, he lifts them up off the ground to enhance their growth. Man, you ought to be encouraged. You know, that's what the Lord did with me. My mom and dad couldn't get a hold of me. I had no intimacy with God. I was just hell on wheels. And I'd given my heart to the Lord, but the legalism had given me a false perspective of God the Father and his love. And I felt like because I had blown it, there was no way I could ever be close to the Father. And when I look back over my life, I can see every time that the Father lifted me up out of the gutter and held me in protection in spite of myself. Why? Because he saw there would be a season of fruitfulness coming to my life. Yes? And we need to be more gracious, and we need to be more loving with people when they're going through a season where they look complacent and apathetic and listless and all of these things. And we need to pray that they will have an encounter with the Father and understand that God is working. He's working on them. It says in context, Christ's endless love for his disciples on the last night of his life on earth seems to emphasize God's love, even for those who fail and disappoint him. Peter's denial didn't bring rejection from Jesus. Wow. Think about that. Many times we have denied Christ, not maybe with our mouth, like Peter, but we've denied him with our actions. We've denied him because we've been in our flesh. We've denied him a chance to work in our life. We denied him an opportunity to speak into our life. We've denied him communion. We've denied him fellowship. We've denied him in so many ways. And when we are in a season like that, especially when we're going through pain, we've all done it. It's so easy for the enemy to come and badger us and say, you're too far gone. Look at your attitude. You used to be a fruitful Christian. You've been so impetuous, so angry, so full of your flesh. Now, grace does not erase the requirement for obedience. Grace does not erase reverence, your responsibility for reverence. Grace does not erase any of those things, but grace does not erase you. Hello? Is anybody home? Grace does not erase you. He does not come and just erase you out of relationship, erase your name out of the book. I was taught, oh, he'll blot your name out of the book. Listen, when you are a Christian that has given your heart to the Lord and you are in Christ and you are sealed to the day of redemption and you are going through a season of confusion and pain where you do not understand what God is doing and you have gotten into a season where your flesh has gotten the best of you and there's very little fruitfulness in your life, don't run from God. The solution is to draw close to the Lord and let the Father pull you in close. And whatever he is removing from your life in that season, let him have it. Because he intends to use you and bring forth more fruitfulness in your life. Jesus said, I'm the sprouting vine and you're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. If a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. Now, that footnote there, F, when he says, if my words, this is the Greek word rhema, which refers to the spoken words or the sayings of God. You know, God gave us the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that he speaks to our inner man. I can't tell you how many times I was in a season where I wasn't bearing the best of fruit. But God was speaking to my inner man. And this is what he's saying. Listen to the spoken word. Listen to what I'm saying to you. If you do that. If my words are allowed to take hold, that other footnote there is the Aramaic word, which means take hold. If my words are strong within you. That's why I'm an advocate of getting the word in you. Keep getting the word in you and let the word get strong in you. He says, if you do that, then he attributes that to living in life union with him. But also you can ask whatever you desire and it'll be done. That's an amazing promise. And he goes on in verse 9 and he says, I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. Let my love nourish your hearts continually. Only when you're performing and you're doing everything right? No, continually. And then he says, if you keep my commandments, you will live in my love just as I have kept my Father's commands. For I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. So this is my command. And it's not like he's saying, you know, I have 50 commandments here that I need you to fulfill. He says, this is my command. Love each other deeply as much as I have loved you. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. You show that you are my intimate friends when you obey all that I command you. And here he's just giving them what? Love each other deeply. Love. Love each other deeply. He hadn't even gone to the cross yet. But he's telling them, beforehand, the greatest love of all is to lay down your life for your friends. You know, last week, I mean, I didn't get crucified, but Mario was here all week. I didn't miss one night except for Wednesday night because we had church. You know why? Because it's my friend. I sacrificed my evening leisure. I sacrificed financially. I sacrificed, and I wanted to do so much more. You know, he and Michelle were incredible to me during Pastor Rick's illness last year. And they're like true friends. I've shared this pulpit with so many people over the years. And I never heard from some of them. And that hurt. You're going through the most devastating thing you could ever go through in your life. And people didn't pick up the phone to even call or write a letter. Mario and Michelle were there every week, texting, calling me, praying with me. I can remember being at Scarlett's first birthday party, and I had to go into the bedroom. And he and Michelle are praying in tongues and praying over me. And, you know, they sowed seed into my life. And are you okay? Do you have any need? Is there anything we can do? You know, that's a friend. That's fruit. That's why they have the kind of worldwide ministry that we do. That's why the anointing rests on his life the way it does. Because that is a man who loves people. He's willing to go to the guttermost to reach people. He puts his own money out there, and he's a true friend. You know, there's so many opportunistic people who want a platform. They want to put a microphone in the hand. They want an honorarium. They want to take the money and go down the road. But then there are people that truly want to be there for you and sacrifice for you. And I would have stayed up and stayed out there and prayed till midnight if that's what he had asked me to do. I would have done anything I could to help my friend. See, that is a fruit that God wants to see within the body of Christ, where we are willing to show up for one another and help one another and lay down our life for one another and to love deeply from the heart. Amen. But God wants us to, he wants to shine. And I love what Jesus says. He says that his Father will receive great glory when this fruit starts to show up in our life. And he says, I didn't choose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you and commissioned you to go into the world and bear fruit. And that's key too. It's like, it's easy to bear fruit in the church. Most of the time. I've been in some mean so-called churches. It was hard to bear fruit in there. It's not hard to bear fruit in So Harvest because people really love here. But think about where he's sending us. He's sending us into the world to bear fruit. So we really need to stay intimate with God. And he says, when you do this, your fruit will last because whatever you ask of my Father for my sake, he'll give it to you. So this is my parting command. Love one another deeply. Love one another deeply. That is the primary fruit that God wants to see in our life. I could tell you this. My love walk was being tested and being proven through some antagonistic relationships in my life with people I love very, very much. I prayed that it would change. I know many of you have been through seasons of like this. It wasn't just one person. It's been decades of this going on. And, you know, as soon as you think you got your love walk on lock with some person that tests your last nerve, and you finally master that, you know, there'll be another one. Yes, there'll be another one. So we just need to get it in our mind right now that the fruit of love cannot be birthed in our life without an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that God is going to continue to prune things off of our life so that fruit of love gets richer and finer and there's more and more of it. All of the other fruit, the manifestations of the fruit, they flow from love, because God is love. Amen? They flow from love. It is time for me to quit when I start getting dyslexic. But here's the thing. If something is no longer growing or bearing fruit or being a benefit to your life and destiny, it has to go. And God knows that. That goes for ministries, programs, mindsets, behaviors, and people. The truth is this. If they can't grow with you, they can't go with you. And realizing this and not clinging to something or someone toxic and killing your progress and dreams is the difference between stalling, decreasing, and going backwards, or gaining momentum, increasing, and moving forward. God is not going to allow you to keep what is not part of your destiny. And if it's supposed to be a part of your next chapter, you cannot lose it. He will not let it go. He will not let them go. And especially people, he will prop them up. He will take care of them. He will pull them into his heart. He will work on them. Why? Because they're connected to him and they're connected to you. even if they look weak and they go through a season where they have little fruit in their life, God is going to breathe on them because of their connection to you. They will flourish with you if he has assigned them to you as part of your destiny. Our Heavenly Father is the master vine dresser, as Jesus said, and he knows what will be beneficial and he knows what will be detrimental to your progress, and he's going to prune away repeatedly whatever is going to hinder your progress. Momentary pruning and pain lead to long-term flourishing and increase. I have learned that. And if you're being pruned, I want to say this, rejoice. Rejoice. Say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God, I give you glory. I'll love you more. I will love you more for this. I may not understand it, but I determine in my heart that I will love you more. I will press in closer. I will have more intimacy with you. I will soak in your presence. I will seek to know you more. If you're the only person I'm hanging out with, that's okay. Yeah. There have been times when I had to walk alone, it appeared. I was walking alone, but I knew I wasn't walking alone. God was walking with me. And you know what? He was removing the wrong people, and he was lining up the right people. The right people were just about to show up in my life. And when I look back, they say hindsight is 20/20. I can remember praying, oh, God, don't let him leave. Oh, God, change this situation. Oh, Lord, no. I was binding the devil and commanding him to get away from them and calling them back and calling them forth. And, man, I was trying to hang on with my fingernails like, just no. And I could just feel it just going from just leaving. You know what I mean? And I just had to release it. And now when I look at those back at those seasons and what God did through the pruning, I am so thankful for that pain. I am so thankful because he was there in the pain. I call it pain with a purpose. Amen. And so if you're in a season of pruning, listen, I know I sound a little strange sometimes, but I happened to trip across a Nigerian high praise station on my Google Home Assistant one time. I was asking for some other worship, and they put on this Nigerian high praise music. There's one called I'm a Winner. I'm a Winner in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I'm a Winner. And anyways, but it will make you dance and shout and rejoice. And I was so sad. I was looking for some like sad K-Love worship, you know, the kind that makes you depressed when you listen to it. Sorry, K-Love. Anyways, anybody know what I'm talking about? I just needed some good, like, you know, I needed some good jungle music. I needed some good jungle music. And the Lord knew exactly what I needed. And I was kind of upset about it at first. I'm like, what is this? And the guide's like, God is able to do everything he said he would do. You're a winner. You're a winner. And I'm like, oh, my God. And pretty soon I started like, this is okay. I started getting into it, you know. And the tears dried up. Betsy's laughing at me because I told everybody to do it. It was such a sad time in my life. But what I learned is this. Sometimes we need to change the channel. In the middle of our pain, we need to turn on some praise music. We need to start to dance, and we need to start to thank God. I love the songs. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. I like the one, do it again. He's going to do it again. You know, you need to put some praise music on and understand that this season of pain is proceeded, not preceded, proceeded. This means to follow by such great fruit. And if you're in a place right now where you're feeling like there's not a lot going on, just know this, God's propping you up. He's lifting you up. You know why? Because you're connected to Jesus. You can join me, worship team, if you would. If you got anything from this tonight, understand this. God has you. He's got you. I love that song, Pull Me In Close, You Pull Me In Close. Remember, all these songs are coming to me tonight. He does. He pulls us in close. He will never let us go, Gardenia. He's got us when we're feeling weary. He's got us when we feel like, you know, there's just not a lot happening. There have been times in my life where I've been stumped. Completely stumped. There were so many things cut off of me that I was just a stump. That's what I felt like. But I had good roots. And I knew where they were rooted and in whom they were rooted. I had good roots. They were in God and in His Word. There were people that mocked me. Oh, look at you now. You were going to be all big and everything, and you had momentum, and things were going good for you. Look at everything you used to have. People do that. Even sometimes we'll do that. Look at what I used to do. Look at what I used to have. And right here I am. A stump. No leaves, no shade, man. It's just the sun. I mean, it's just heat and adversity. And one of my favorite scriptures that God gave me to stand on in that season was Jeremiah 17. I don't know the exact verses, but it goes something like this. The man that depends upon the arm of the flesh will be like a stripped, bare, naked bush, a heath in the desert. And when the sun comes, he will be scorched, and he'll wither away and become nothing. But the man who depends upon the Spirit, upon the Lord, stays connected to the Lord, will be like a tree planted by the river. And he will not see when the sun comes, when the heat comes. Notice, the heat comes for both people. The heat comes. The devil will turn the heat up. Whether you are a believer or not, the believer experiences the heat, and so does the other person. We're all going to experience the heat. But one will be like a tree planted by the river. Even though they're both planted in a desert place, in a hot place, the other one, it says, his leaves will be always green, always. And he will never cease from bearing fruit. Hallelujah. How many of you want to be like that? You know where I'm at? I am now. I don't believe I'm in a stumped season. I've had seasons where there were some branches cut off, but I feel like I'm thriving. Amen? I'm thriving. God doesn't have to do such radical pruning in my life anymore. I go from fruitfulness to more fruitfulness, and greater fruitfulness, and greater fruitfulness. And it's all because of Him. To Him be all the glory. Live yielded to Him, church. Don't give up. No matter where you are, just understand, God loves you. He has you. He's not going to let you go. And those ones that you're kind of wondering about, just see them being pulled into the Father's heart and see Him bringing them back to life, breathing upon them again. Don't give up on anybody, because you don't know whose season of fruitfulness you're about ready to eat the fruit from. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Father, we thank you for this word of encouragement that you have given to us tonight. You know, I pray you know Jesus. What do you mean, know Jesus? Jesus said, believe in me in your heart. Believe. What do I believe about Jesus? You need to believe that he died on the cross for your sins. That means that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. What does it mean to sin? It means a trespass against God. God is holy. God is perfect. God is righteous. And we were born into sin, which means we lie. We covet. We say things we shouldn't. We do things we shouldn't. Sometimes we have murderous thoughts. We may not commit the act, but we have them. Yeah. We all can think about our life and we know we have a need for a Savior. And Jesus died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. Sin's a serious thing. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. There's a penalty for sin, and it's called death. So if you don't know Jesus, you've never invited Jesus to come into your heart, and you've never believed that he died on the cross to forgive you of your sins, the Bible says you're under a death penalty. And Jesus came to absolve that, to take care of that. But the only way he can remove that from your life is by you placing your faith in him as Savior. And he says, all who come to me, I will in no wise reject. I will do it. I will receive you. I will save you. I will write your name in my book, which is an eternal book called the Lamb's Book of Life. And when you die, because everyone will, and you go before the judgment seat of Christ, you will not be penalized. You will be invited into the kingdom of heaven forever and ever and ever, for eternity. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus was saying there's this thing called perishing. What is that? That means to live for all of eternity, because you are an eternal soul somewhere. And the perishing part means to live in eternity apart from him in a place called hell. There's only two options, heaven or hell. And Jesus came that you might have life, eternal life, but life also here and life more abundantly. That's the gospel. I'm always going to preach the gospel. The gospel doesn't need to be an hour long. The good news is this: Christ died on the cross to forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life through faith in him. Very simple. Who would reject Jesus? Only someone in rebellion. So I don't know where you are today. We have people that listen to these podcasts sometimes a year later. Jesus says now, right now, today is the day of salvation. Right now, today is the accepted time. Right now, there's no better time than now. Some people won't live a year to hear a podcast. If you're listening to this right now, I'm going to encourage you. I implore you to make Jesus the Lord of your life. I never want to be casual about this. I never will. Pray to receive Christ. He says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that he is Lord, and you shall be saved. It's as simple as that. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer to do that. Make the decision now. Say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I need you to be my Savior. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Baptize me with the fire of the Holy Spirit. I know I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for the first time, all of heaven is throwing a party and your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We want you to write us at soulharvestwc@yahoo.com and let us know.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast. For more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends. Click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at SoulHarvestWC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.